Bungalow. Me and me sound tight like a cane bow. Me no know where them jump and a go. There's only one champion in Adilan, and me tell you that a my sound, my sound. No for them a dung dung, diggy diggy dung dung. And in a sound clash them get shot down. There's only one champion in Adilan, and me tell you that a my sound, my sound. No for them a dung dung, diggy diggy dung dung. And in a sound clash them get shot down. Tell a boy say fi circle, no circle, you know. My sound hotter than a kettle, you know. The champion a echo and a jackle, you know. In a Colombia we bow with the rebel.
When you hear the term the Chico vibe, what does that mean to you, Maddie Gruber?
Chico vibe to me would probably be just good people, happy people who love music.
Monstro's Pizza and all the great places to play.
Yes.
All right, welcome to the weekend, 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM. I'm Guillermo Mash for the Chico Vibe, and you are indeed listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Always keep in mind, opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Hey everyone, it's time for KZFR Music Calendar, your link to some of what our community has to offer in the way of live music. If you'd like to have your event on the music calendar, send us an email with event details to mc@kzfr.org. That's mc@kzfr.org. Friday, August 11th, Durst Case Scenario, 7 p.m. at Chico Women's Club. The Gateway Show, 9 p.m. at the Maltese Bar. Soul Showcase, 8 p.m. at the Naked Lounge. And Basement, 9:30 p.m. at the Peking Chinese Restaurant. Saturday, August 12th, Chill Island Summertime Rock, 9 p.m. at the Maltese Bar. Gospel Choir Concert, 6 p.m. at Bethel Aim Church. Kelly Twins Dueling Pianos, 9 p.m. at Argus Bar. Noche Latina, 9 p.m. at Lost on Main. West Coast Blackout Dance, 8 p.m. at Studio One Ballroom. Tempo Reggae Night, 11 a.m. at Sifo's Jamaican Restaurant. Sunday, August 13th, Bad Luck, 7:30 p.m. at the Naked Lounge. That concludes the KZFR Music Calendar. The Music Calendar can be heard every Thursday and Friday afternoon weekly. Have a great weekend, and keep listening to our community radio station, 90.1 FM, KZFR.
Yeah, I'm Mash here with the August 11th, the Chico Vibe here on KZFR 90.1 FM, and I'm pleased to have on the phone Maddie Gruber, a local musician from Chico, California. Welcome to KZFR, Maddie Gruber.
Hi.
All right, we're going to be talking about you getting up on stage with Green Day. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about what show you were at and where your seats were.
Okay, well, I was at the Green Day show in Oakland on the 5th, and I had front row seats.
Front row.
Yeah.
So, you know, they played this awesome song. It was a cover, Operation Ivy, Knowledge. And, you know, about 4 minutes into the song, you know, Billy Joel Armstrong goes,
we need a guitar player.
What were you thinking when you heard Billy Joel Armstrong say, hey, I need a guitar player?
I just raised my hand in the air and started saying, I know guitar. And then after like a couple seconds, a bunch of people around me started pointing at me too. After like a minute or so, Mike, the bassist, started kicking at me. And it took Billy like a couple minutes to pick someone. But after a while, he came back and looked at me and asked me.
Yeah, it was really cool. He was going back and forth across the stage, you know, several times. One of the cool things he said, I really liked to get a little comment from you. He says, about halfway into trying to pick someone, he says, I want someone crazy. I don't want someone normal.
Yeah.
Then I thought it was kind of a cool interaction, you know, at about 6:11 in the clip, right when he's kind of getting ready. And I can see he's like looking you in the eye and he says, you know how to play? You swear to God. That's what he said to you. And then he asked you how old you were, and then you said you were 18. Then he made a comment. You know, he said, "How long you been playing guitar?" And I couldn't hear how long you said. How long you been playing, Maddie?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
As soon as you said that, his whole face lit up and said, "All right, get your ass up here."
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. What were you thinking at that moment when he said, "Get on up here"?
I was just like, okay, here I go. And the security guy just like pulled me over the barrier, and then he threw me on stage.
I thought one of the coolest parts of the clip is where you ran up and you hugged Billy Joe Armstrong. And what was going through your mind then?
Well, when I landed on my knees on stage, I look back and I see Billy Joe and Trey, and I was just like, oh, this is actually happening. And I just started running, and I hugged him, and then he started telling me, okay, you swear you know how to play? And I told him yes. And then he said, okay. And then he showed me the chords, mm-hmm. and then he put the guitar on me, and then sent me off.
What did it feel like when he slipped those straps over you and set you loose?
It felt really normal, and like I expected to be like really excited and like anxious or whatever, but I was like really calm and I was it was just a really fun experience.
Yeah, you were having a ball. You could tell that. Of course, you played in front of live audiences. You played on the radio. You've been on the radio. I mean, you killed it. You just killed it on the stage. It was wonderful. How neat was it singing with Billy Joe Armstrong?
Yeah, that was an experience. I don't know what else to say. It was crazy.
Yeah, the whole audience was going, you know, quote unquote nuts. And then, you know, towards the end, he kind of told you to go up on the platform, so you were standing right at looking at Trey for a second or two. Then you jumped off the drum platform. That was dope. I really, really like that. What were you thinking flying through the air before you hit the stage?
Nothing at all. I was just ecstatic.
The other thing I thought was really cool was the look on your face when you said you get to keep the guitar. What kind of guitar is it? Maybe we get a little insight on what kind of guitar he was playing that he gave you.
It's an Epiphone Les Paul.
Nice. Anything about that whole experience that you might want to circle back on or something I missed?
Well, the weird thing was after the show, when we were leaving, I was getting like people, at least 100 people came up to me asking for a picture with me or like wanting to talk to me. And then when we were passing by the BART station, this crowd of like 300 people were chanting my name, and it was just insane.
So what's up next for Maddie Gruber musically?
I'm working on my next album right now, and I just released a music video for Allegory of Humanity, a song on QED, my first album.
Ooh, I haven't seen that music video. I'll have to pull that up.
Yeah, it's up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Who worked with you on that locally? Or did you do it yourself?
I did it myself.
Nice. You did the whole album yourself as well, right? For our listeners, did you not play every instrument and mix it together?
Yeah, I played every instrument but the drums, and I mixed it and produced it myself.
Listeners just joining, we're speaking with Maddie Gruber about her experience of going up on stage to play a few chords with Green Day. Maddie, tell us a little bit about the song we're going to play off of your album, your QED album that we just discussed. And it's, as I understand it, the favorite song on the album for your dad.
Crush is about just living life and carrying on when things get you down. And yeah.
All right. It's always nice hearing your voice, Maddie Gruber. And thanks for all the music stuff you do.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Jason Cassidy with the Arts Lowdown for this weekend, man. Welcome to KZFR, Jason Cassidy.
Thank you. Art Stevo is glad to be here.
Man, we've really warmed the seat up for you with that interview with Maddie Gruber, huh?
That was wonderful. Wonderful experience for her. And it's cool. I was just telling you that my favorite part about all that, I mean, it's cool you get to play with someone famous and all that, and especially for someone her age, I'm sure it's a huge thrill. But for me, as you know, a guy who watches music all the time, it was impressive. I mean, I know hundreds of guitarists, and probably she's the one out of the whole first hundred that could have thrown herself into it like that. Like, she was ready for her moment, and it's like the Eminem song? If your moment comes, don't miss it, whatever. I'm butchering the lyrics, but it was just neat to see that, you know, realized like that. It was no hesitation. She just, like, she was a part of the band. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of a backstory, because it was your show. You know, I did this really cool show. Jason Cassidy, about a year and a half ago, did a punk rock cover night.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
just
you. I mean, you helped put it together. You were a curator.
Yes.
The curator of the punk, the punk rock cover night. But Maddie was here. And Maddie had actually played in this production studio where we're doing this interview. And afterwards, I had two or three people that literally approached me asking me who she was.
Oh, yeah.
Just from that one radio interview. And I got to know Maddie a little bit more. Her and Mackenzie had gone back to Sojourn to the Past during their senior year.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And the whole racial justice thing back in the Deep South. But anyway, she's just a wonderful person, wonderful musician. We're happy to have her, huh? Chico.
Yeah, it's great,
Chico,
yeah. Vod. It's neat to see a family, too, support musicians. And, you know, as I've kind of watched things happen in the scene, I occasionally see parents who are very involved. And it's no accident that their kids end up being successful, mm-hmm, and major parts of the music scene, people who put a lot of energy into the music scene. I think of Aubrey DeBotcher, and the guy Seabass from Trilateral Dirts Commission, and Maddie, their parents are at the shows. They drive in the shows. They get them. They make room in their lives for rehearsals and things like that. And it's a cool thing to see art be nurtured like that.
It is. You know, Gino's. I always see Gino there.
Oh yeah,
it's just amazing. But talking about people that support, you know, their daughters and sons, gave Natalie Valencia a huge hug. She said, "I'm Seabass's."
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
mom.
Yeah,
is that Frost Nixon? I gave her a huge hug at Frost Nixon, which was amazing. Maybe a little bit on Frost Nixon, dude. That's a crazy question.
One more weekend, yeah.
Yeah, this, one more weekend.
They're only doing 2 weeks of it this run.
I think Bob Spear did I haven't read it yet, but he did an article on the play.
Yeah, he highly recommends it.
I was really blown away. And we had Mark Alexander, the staff writer for the Chico Vibe. He went his very first play.
Oh, good, right
and
on.
And he wrote up a neat little story on it. But anyway, I can't say enough about Frost Nixon last weekend, man.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's a play that hinges on the power of the two lead actors, and you couldn't ask for two, Dave DeVallis and Joe Hills. I mean, that's getting as pro as it gets.
It was amazing. So what else we got going on, man? What else is going on, Art Steve?
Oh, gosh, what else is going on? There's a Arts Day at Chico Art Center this weekend. It's in conjunction with their art show that they have right now, which is a collaboration between adults and kids artists, and they're having an Arts Day on Saturday. I didn't bring my glasses in, but it is Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Chico Art Center. They're going to have all art supplies down there and booths, and speaking of, you know, parents supporting the artistic endeavors of their kids, is a good way for parents and kids to do stuff together. And I just was reading a post online, Josh Funk, local musician and turned animator, filmmaker, and his son are going to be down there doing some kind of demo.
Nice. Josh Funk's, I've had him on a few times. And I think I'm going to do some, I'm trying to, like me, I don't have my glasses on. I do, actually. But but aren't they going to do some cool things with, like, iPads? Wasn't this the show? Or
maybe? Oh, I'm guessing. Yeah, I'm sure they would. That seems like, these days, that stuff's all...
I'm going to be there. I'm going to check that out.
Nice.
For sure.
And something I didn't get in the paper this week, on Sunday at noon, from noon to one, they're having a volunteer meeting at the Blue Room for the late night series. They're going to get the Twilight Zones coming back up again, and they need people to come help out. So if you ever want to be a part of theater, and who doesn't want to be a part of theater, if you have the time, Sunday, noon to one at Blue Room.
I think we should plug the Slow Theater, too, the Butcher Shop, because I'm bringing them on. We're going to do it from starting next week all the way to the Butcher Shop, Aaron Wade, and once they cast, we're going to bring some folks in to do some readings.
Right on. Yeah. Do some slow readings.
Just to let the listeners know, I was kind of fascinated by it, but I told Aaron, I said, let's get some readers on here next week. And she says, well, you know, we don't even have it cast yet. This is a real fast thing. They get cast and they have like 2 weeks.
Sure.
Right?
Part of it is they have people coming from out of town.
Yeah.
So they have to wait till they get
here. Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So they like send them the script and then they get here, they do a few.
I think they've been working on it, to be true to the concepts behind slow theater, they've slowly been working on this. And they send it out to people and you know, these things are developed over time and to meet the themes and ideas that they want to present.
Mm-hmm. You know, not that you need any reason to leave Chico, but for the funk of it, man. Belkin.
Oh, it's, yeah, right man, now, right?
Right now.
Yeah, it starts today.
Wait a minute, let me take my headphone off. I think I can hear a little of it. I think maybe a little bit of funk.
The bass reverb. It's crazy that they do that up there. They do that Belden Town. Is that what that's called?
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Belden Town Resort. They have music festivals there all year long, or during nice weather. They have. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of become what they do. Yeah, let's go start a festival. Let's do our own.
We should, man.
KZFR, I want another KZFR Music Festival.
I'm saying it on air, man. I want a remake of the Punk Rock Covenant. That's still my favorite show ever.
It'd be pretty easy to make happen.
That, so many memories from that. But thanks for all that you do, man. Then we got the thing coming up, the 40th. The block party is like only a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, seeing our block party Saturday, August 26th, noon to 4. Out nice. In the blazing sun. We're going to close off streets behind the newspaper. And I have live music, food trucks. Sierra Nevada will be there. All the good stuff.
I was going to say, did we miss anything? Of course we did, because there's always a lot going on in Chico. But just grab the latest edition of the Chico News and Review and look at the calendar section. Man.
That's right, yeah. And stay tuned to KZFR all weekend.
All weekend.
Yes.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks, man.
The Chico Vibe, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Zeppelin Works. Specializing in Volkswagen, BMW, Porsche, Audi, Volvo, and Mercedes since 1981, the Zeppelin Works is a full-service repair facility providing technical expertise for any European automotive problem or maintenance. More information can be found by calling 893-0757 or at zeppelinworks.com. Please give a big KZFR welcome to Mary Standish Comedy with Liz Mary and Aaron Standish. Welcome to KZFR, Liz and Aaron.
Woo, woo, woo. Yay. Thank you.
Oh, you mean this is the real thing? We just wasted all our best material on a sound check.
You did. The sound checks are always the best, Aaron. So how long have you two darlings been making people laugh and howl?
Well, she's been making me laugh before 1990. That's when we started doing comedy together, but she was making me laugh before that, so that's why we got together.
That's always a good reason to get together.
I was doing it for about 10 years before that with some friends, mostly from Red Bluff, but we only did it in Red Bluff for a couple of years before we were old enough to get out of town and get down to Chico and start drinking. So we moved the show to Chico in the early 80s, 83 or so, and did it up until 90, then Liz and I hooked up.
Nice.
Well, they didn't have any women in there. They were more of a troupe at that point, maybe six or seven people, all men. And when they had parts for women in their sketches, of course, one of them would dress up as a woman, which is always hilarious, as we know. But I approached Aaron one night after show and said, hey, if you ever want an actual woman in the show, I would love to try this. And he said, sure, and he wrote me a part, and then I wrote a few parts, and all of a sudden we were married.
Dun, dun, dun,
and I used to look a lot better in a dress. It was time to move on.
That's a nice pickup line. If you ever want a woman in your comedy, pick me. Yeah,
exactly. Hey, it worked. Look at the prize I won.
Tell us about your show tonight at the Women's Club with Will Durst. What's going on?
Well, we're going to be doing about a half hour set to open for Will, and I think he's doing an hour and a half or so of Trump material. And even though Trump is looming large over everything, we're trying to avoid it because we know that Will will be hitting that heavy. So we're trying to hit the local stuff and other assorted sundries, mm-hmm. Sundries we can. And we're doing a sketch, a little bit of stand-up. Liz is doing some of her fake news, so we're trying to squeeze as much variety into 30 minutes as we can. We'd be in heaven.
Maybe our listeners can hear a short skit. You got something you could do right now on radio?
Not without giving away tonight's show. Oh, wait, Aaron will jump over to the computer.
There you go. Look at
well, we were working on a couple of Glenn Campbell songs about North Korea.
Oh, he just
we
did.
Haven't, we haven't quite worked that out, but maybe go ahead and sing that little ditty.
There you go.
Oh, here we go. Like a rice-growing cowboy, dreaming I'll be in charge of a Tea Party government. Like a rice-growing cowboy, ignoring all opinions. See, honey, this is not Korea. This is the LaMalfa one.
Oh, shoot. Well, let me try this one, then. We got Jefferson.
That one will be
Jefferson,
in the show.
I can see your green flag fading
like your plans for separating. It's almost gone, the dream of Jefferson. Oh, wait, that one's not about Korea either. This is why we're having such a hard time. We've thrown away more material in this show than we'll be doing by far. And we're definitely throwing those away, so don't worry about that.
So folks just joining, we're listening to Mary Standish Comedy, and you can catch them tonight. And they're going to be opening for Will Durst, America's top political satirist. That's at the Women's Club. 7 p.m. show at 8.
Will Durst, smart and funny, always greets us by name, holding his coffee cup up high. Liz Mary, Mr. Liz Mary, the best. He's like a father figure to us.
All right, I'm here with my friend Naomi Eisenberg out here on the streets of Chico, and she's reading me her letter in the Chico News and Review from her experience from Doug LaMalfa's town hall meeting here in Chico, and some comments she wants everyone to know.
Hello. I attended the Doug LaMalfa town hall meeting, and I was quite disgusted after only 20 seconds into the meeting. Mr. LaMalfa decided to open up the discussion with a holy prayer that ended with the often used, "Thank you, our Lord Jesus Christ." How can he hold a meeting, a town meeting, to discuss federal policy and allow a religious prayer representing one dominating religion? I felt left out. I even shouted out, "But I'm a Jew," and insulted, and feel there is no place for any one religion to dominate. The separation of church and state has become a sham. We have separation of church and state for a reason. We must hold town meetings without religious prayer if one religion is favored. Paying homage to only one religion is an insult in all other beliefs.
All right, Gamma Match for the August 11th, the Chico Vibe. And I'm real pleased to have in the studio Ken Smith, the author of this week's piece in the Chico News and Review titled LaMalfa Takes a Licking from his town hall meeting just this past few days here at the Elks Club. Welcome to KZFR, Ken Smith.
Thank you very much.
I want to jump right in, man. Why this title? Why did you come up with this?
Yeah. Well, this is the second LaMalfa town hall that I've covered. Did the Oroville one a couple months ago. And in 5 years of reporting for the CNR, I've covered him quite a bit and covered like these kind of political events. There's always been something about LaMalfa's character that kind of reminds me. I think I was watching something recently and it was talking about heels and faces in professional wrestling. And you've got faces who are your, you know, Hulk Hogan's and stuff, who are the guys who represent, you know, everything that we love to love. And then there's the heels that are just kind of there to make the faces look good and to take the abuse. But I mean, but also they're popular in their own way as well, because there's something, I guess, to be said to be for being that guy that everybody hates. And there's something about LaMalfa's persona, especially in this type of event, and especially when confronted with any sort of you know, other ways of thinking or anything, where he just kind of doubles down on the abrasive way of communicating, and also there's kind of a way that it just kind of lets it run off his shoulders. And then also there's the public spectacle aspect, I think, which kind of adds to the wrestling metaphor. Like, I kind of think of some of these types of things as like, you know, WWE events, but the local versions. Like, you don't have the Undertaker, you got Doug LaMalfa. I don't know.
It was absolutely maddening to me because, one, he was dismissive. Two, I listened to the whole thing. There was nothing he said that you could kind of pin him down. And it was very abrasive, the whole thing. And throughout, he tried to present that he represents everybody. But his demeanor in the meeting, and actually a lot of his answers to questions, said otherwise. But you had penned, so I'm going to actually talk about a paragraph that Ken had penned, or a portion. It says, not only did he appear unaffected by the boos and jeers that rained down upon him from many of the roughly 400 constituents who attended the 8 a.m. meeting at Manzanita Place, the Elks Club, but he also repeatedly loosed comments that served no other purpose than to stir the ire of his detractors. Expand on that, Ken.
I think I include a couple examples in the article, beginning with Dan Everhard, Chico guy, gets up there and kind of spoke somewhat eloquently about wealth inequality and LaMalfa's record of kind of cutting social services in support of, you know, you could interpret it as supporting things that benefit the rich and hurt the poor. The beginning of his response to that was, what was it again?
Great talking points off the internet, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. He just resorts to this personal attack rather than try to engage into any sort of real conversation about it. And it just kind of goes into that playing the bad guy wrestler role, you know? Yeah. Like,
you know what was absurd about that? And we're going to hear this. Actually, that's not the absurd part. I've got three or four clips we're going to play, and Everhart's going to be one of them. It did not take him long, Ken, to fall into his talking points. And to give Dan Everhart his credit, he wrote that. I'm certain he did. Uh-huh. He didn't go on the internet and come up with talking points. So it was very, sure. very, you know, most of the talking points I heard were coming from.
You don't have to go on the internet to learn about inequality of wealth in America.
Any closing comments about your article, Ken?
No, just that... you know, LaMalfa is an interesting character here in the North State, and I think town halls are great. It feels really good to be there in the audience, but at the same time, it's kind of sadly obvious that, you know, when your representatives aren't really listening to you and just kind of checking it off the list of things to do. But still, I think they have value, and I think it's important to for people to keep letting their voice be heard in the most effective ways they can find.
Inequality has been getting worse for decades now. The rich continue to do well, really well, while things get worse for every other income group. We're quickly approaching degrees of inequality normally found in developing countries. Despite the administration and your friends and colleagues are intent on cutting taxes for the rich while cutting support services and benefits for the poor, how do you justify continuing to enrich the already wealthy, your friends and colleagues, while cutting services for everyone else?
Those are great talking points you get off the internet somewhere. That is a good point. The thing I strive for the most is opportunities for middle-income families, middle-income Americans to prosper, to continue to live where they would like to live, including the North State. To continue to live in the North State and have opportunities here. So they don't have to go to a city somewhere. So they don't have to leave where they've grown up. So I think one of the biggest impediments to that has been the regulatory load that chases jobs out of our country. It all comes back to jobs and economic opportunity here in America. That's what I fight for. That's what I strive for. I really don't give a much of a hoot about corporate opinions because corporations tend to be chicken anyway. So, all right? So, you know, we hear a lot of talking points on that. I'm not aligned with the rich. I'm aligned with what's opportunity for all Americans. Okay?
Mr. Congressman, thank you for coming to Chico, and thanks for coming and bringing your staff earlier to the Habitat for Humanity opening over on Fair Street there. Affordable housing is a big deal in the North State. We're a very important district, as you know, and housing is growing more expensive. And Butte County, especially in Oroville, 50% of the people are spending more than 50% on their housing income. That's creating, you know, poor communities. When you go on top of that and do something like cut food stamps for people, now we have kids going to school hungry. We have childhood poverty. I'd like to see you support the tax credits under HUD and Ben Carson to help create more affordable housing here for us in the North State. I think it's absurd that we live in an area where there's 256 Goldilocks days of sunshine, and yet we're not creating jobs here. The number one jobs right now are in solar energy and wind power. We need to bring some jobs to this district, and however you feel about climate change, those are the facts. Well, the sea has risen, but those are the facts. We can create a lot of jobs here, and I'd like to support a financial trade tax and start taxing Wall Street, tax the hedge fund managers.
The key to affordable housing is to make it more affordable. The cost of building a home, the cost of getting a permit to get a home, availability of land, and the high cost of land due to only being able to use a little bit of it because of a fairy shrimp or something, that's what drives the cost of housing.
Hi, Mr. LaMalfa, or Congressman LaMalfa. I appreciate you being here to listen.
Thank you.
This is a picture of my son. He loved
riding horses, playing golf, and playing John Prine folk songs on his guitar. His birthday is in about 10 days on August 18th. Unfortunately, he's not here to celebrate his birthday. He died in 2015 from an opioid overdose. That same year, over 50,000 Americans died from drug overdoses. 1,242 of those deaths were in our district, District 1. My question to you has to do with healthcare and the opioid crisis. The healthcare bill that you voted for, the HACA, would discontinue health insurance for millions of people. It would dramatically increase premiums for people over 50. But probably the scariest thing is it strips away the essential benefits that cover preventative care and drug treatment and mental health treatment. I want you to know that these are life and death decisions you are making. I don't have my beautiful son anymore.
Okay, ma'am, on time. Thank you for that. Now, on the opioid issue, we're very aware of it in Congress and are addressing that with legislation to curtail the misuse of opioids, but I'm getting both kinds of calls. We're obviously we see the abuse of that. We need to have the legislation we pass this year. If you wish to get more details on it, our office can provide you with that, as I don't have it at my fingertips here, but we're looking for solutions on the opioid abuse, but then I also have a constituent who called and can't get the treatment she needs for a back surgery. She's arbitrarily kicked off. She told me about some kind of a regional aspect of how much opioids are going to allow by region, not on a case-by-case basis for the patient. So this is something we'll be looking into as well. There's appropriate use of these pain-killing medicines for someone who's, like in this lady's case, had a back surgery that really needs to have that pain curtailed until she's healed. And so what you're talking about on the essentials, we built in essentials into that. It's not exactly the same as the ACA, but you have to remember, the bill is a work in progress, as the House has certain constraints of what it can send over to the Senate and have the Senate address. So the Senate's still wrestling. So right now, the ACA is as is. And when during the years President Obama was in there and with the Republican majority, they actually was at least seven pieces of legislation to change aspects of the ACA that the president signed. So this is an ongoing thing, no matter what side you're on. Okay?
You know,
thank you.
Respectfully, I wanted to give you a picture of my son to take back to Washington with
ma'am.
You.
Ma'am, we'll do that. We'll be glad to take that.
Good morning, sir. I appreciate the enormous challenges and difficult issues you face as a member of Congress. However, along with many Americans and backed by scientific consensus, I am convinced that rapid climate change caused primarily by the combustion of fossil fuels is the most significant issue facing this country, the world, and all living things, and that the costs of taking action are far, far less than the cost of doing nothing.
Yeah.
Personally, I followed the science for 25 years and have watched uncertainty become certainty and hypothesis become direct observation. Will you, Congressman LaMalfa, like 26 fellow Republicans, join the bipartisan House Climate Solutions Caucus, whose purpose is to serve as an organization to educate members on economically viable options to reduce climate risk and protect our nation's economy, security, infrastructure, agriculture, water supply, and public safety, or at least support the House Republican climate resolution?
I will gear towards positive economic as well as environmental solutions that strengthen the U.S.'s ability to innovate, to produce cleaner burning equipment, power plants, all things across the board that would be a concern. I do not buy the idea that that man-made activity is responsible for it. It may be, we address that. Again, all the time, if we have the power and the strength and the freedom of innovation to come out with cleaner burning vehicles, cleaner burning power plants, we're going to do better because we're an industrialized nation. So, but to just merely tax ourselves and hand the money over to the government so they can build silliness like high-speed rail does very little or nothing to help any kind of CO2 activity.
Hello, this is Dave Waddell, news director for Chico Soul, the people-powered investigative online magazine. With us tonight for the Chico Soul segment of the Chico Vibe is Madeline Hemphill, a San Diego native and senior psychology major at Chico State, who got caught up in what I would describe as the strange case of the missing cell phone. In my mind, a disturbing incident in which she was tackled, her word, by Chico police officers as she began filming Officer Steve Dyke arrest her roommate, Nicole Braham. Chico police arrested both Hemphill and Braham for resisting arrest, though District Attorney Mike Ramsey has not charged Hemphill, only Braham. With misdemeanor resisting arrest, that charge is pending in Butte County Superior Court. Hemphill filed a complaint with Chico PD alleging, I believe, officer retaliation and excessive force. The incident gained a decent amount of notoriety because a video of Braham's arrest went viral, and also because Hemphill's phone, which she says contained evidence, was lost during her arrest. Anything you'd like to add or correct in terms of what I said there?
No, that's spot on.
Okay. Yeah. Could you just go through the chronology of that night?
That night, it was a Saturday, August 27th. My roommate, Telvina, and I were walking home from the bars, and we were almost to our home when we saw Officer Dyke and another officer talking to a young man they had pulled over on the side of Esplanade. I could tell by Officer Dyke's body movements and tone and volume that he was an aggressive guy. And so I started to videotape him using my cell phone. He looked back and noticed me, and he ordered me to get back onto the sidewalk, which I immediately did. And I continued filming him and got pretty angry at me for recording him. And we had some back and forth. He asked me why I didn't have anything better to do. And eventually my roommate, Nicole Braham, who was later arrested, pulled up in a car to where Telvina and I were standing. She had been giving friends rides home that night because she was the sober driver for the night. And so she offered to drive myself and Telvina home. And I responded that I would rather them drive home without me because I felt that Officer Dyke would retaliate and pull over Nicole, which he did after they drove off without me. So he pulled her over right in front of our home, and then he basically just took her to the ground when she got out of her car and threw her down and repeatedly was throwing her down and pulling back her fingers in ways that aren't natural. And I started to record on my cell phone. I repeatedly asked what Nicole had done wrong, because they had never said what Nicole had been done to be detained the way that she was, and I had never received a response. And at one point, I said very clearly, "Officer Dyke, you are being recorded. What has she done wrong?" At which point, Officer Dyke points up at me and instructs two of his assisting officers to arrest me and take me to jail. At that point, I am tackled by two officers, and my phone is taken right out of my hand, and I am detained and arrested at the scene with my roommate, Nicole. They asked me on the scene if they could keep my phone because they have video evidence on it. And I said, yes, of course, please do. I was asked that again at the jail cell, and I again agreed. And then the next morning I was released. I went home and I went to Chico PD's location, and they told me that my phone was in evidence and that I was unable to get it back until my court date. And so I left, and then my father called and they told him the exact same thing. And then 2 days later, they claimed that my phone was lost at the scene.
Okay. Mike Ramsey has, the district attorney, has just completed his investigation, or his portion of the investigation, I guess, into your complaint. His portion of the investigation focused on finding the cell phone, which he spent a lot of time, 10 months, trying to get information from your cell phone carrier, but he concluded that the phone was left at the scene for a number of hours and then picked up by somebody and basically carried around town as if it were a transient. But in his mind, that cleared police officers of involvement in, you know, the mystery of your missing phone. Do you have any comment on that portion?
I absolutely do not believe that that's true. I believe that it's suspicious how much they have avoided any sort of interactions with me. Both O'Brien and Ramsey all of the district attorney's employees involved are basically ignoring me and avoiding me. I think that they have something they're trying to hide, and I don't think that they're being unbiased. I believe that they're on the police's side, and they're trying to help them cover up something.
Have you heard from the Chico Police Department on the outcome of your complaint?
No, I have not.
And you didn't hear from the DA about the outcome of his cell phone investigation?
No.
One of the things District Attorney Ramsey did at Chico Soul's request was to look at the dispatch records to settle a disagreement you had with the police chief about how much time elapsed between your first encounter with Officer Dyke and your arrest. The original Chico Police Department press statement signed by the police chief said it was a 28-minute gap. You agreed that it was two blocks away. You and the police chief agreed that the two encounters happened two blocks away. But you said it happened less than 5 minutes later. A significant difference would, I think, and would tend to prove or maybe disprove the allegation of retaliation. The district attorney looked into that and found that your arrest took place 3 minutes after Officer Dyke left the DUI scene that you had been filming, and you left. Any comment on that?
I believe it's pretty obvious that they made up that 28-minute time period to deflect any sort of idea of retaliation. I knew that from the moment I read that press release, because it is suspicious to get arrested 3 minutes after interacting with an officer. It's definitely something that should be looked into, but I'm glad that they went and proved that.
And the thing that he pulled Braham over for, or she had already stopped in front of her house, was a burned out license plate bulb mm-hmm. that he had noticed when he was interacting with you. So, not the most serious crime
it's
going on in
not
Chico.
Illegal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know anything about that.
They told me that you need, as long as you have one license plate light, you're okay. Which she did have. She just had one burned out. So she technically wasn't breaking the law.
Okay. Wow. So this all happened 11 months ago or so. Before that date, my impression is that you would routinely, I don't know if that's the right word, film police doing whatever you might happen upon that you had time to do, I guess. And you viewed that as a matter of civic duty, the goal being to reduce or record abuse of police power. Is that a fair characterization?
I wouldn't say that I habitually or consistently record the police, though I am definitely dedicated to keeping an eye on them. And if I see something that indicates to me that there is excessive force or the threat of violence, unjustified violence, then I definitely would record. So I have recorded in the past.
Okay.
This is the only time it worked out the way it did, though.
Right. We ran a story that in which you talked about now being afraid of police, and it seems to me like your mindset about filming has changed as a result of this incident, or at least your willingness to do it, it seems to have changed. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, my mindset's definitely not changed at all. I still believe just as much as ever, if not more, that it's very important to videotape the police. Accountability is a huge issue, and it's something we need to keep working towards. But yes, admittedly, I am a little bit afraid to ever record a police officer again myself, just because of that experience, and it could have gone a lot worse, and I don't want it to ever go like that again. But I think if the situation were to present itself, and I did feel as though a citizen was threatened by an officer, I believe I would. But it's still something that scares me and makes me nervous. And so does the sight of any police car. Yeah, it's just, it's something I can't really get over.
And in terms of your own safety or well-being, are you reluctant to call the Chico Police Department?
Absolutely. I really don't think I ever will again. My car was briefly stolen a few months ago, and I was forced to call the Chico police, and it was, I wouldn't say a traumatic experience, but it was an emotional experience, and that's when I realized that there were some lasting psychological effects that I definitely have to deal with, because now I have a huge fear of the police, knowing that they can basically do whatever they want and make up whatever story they want to try and justify it, and they'll probably get away with it. So, yeah.
So you were arrested and handled by Chico police that night, and you spent time in the Chico Police Department holding facility for a while before you were taken to the Oroville County Jail. Can you contrast your treatment between the treatment at the jail and by the Chico Police Department?
Yes. The Chico Police Department treated myself and my roommate horribly. We were taken into a cold cell with no toilet paper and open bloody wounds. We repeatedly asked for toilet paper. Officers would look back at us and laugh. We repeatedly asked to have our wounds cleaned because there was other dried blood all over the cell. And so we complained that this wasn't hygienic and that this was unsafe because we had open cuts, and they just laughed at us. They would look back and they would just smile, and they thought it was funny the way that we were so upset and in need. So that was really scary. And it was much different at Butte County Jail. They were definitely more professional. I wouldn't say at all that they were abusive in any way to Nicole and myself. They were stern. They did their job. It's not like they were lenient on us, but they were respectful. Yeah, I respect the way that Butte County Jail handled it. Not at all the way that Chico Police handled it.
One thing you were holding out for, I believe, was to have the Chico Police Department replace your cell phone, even though I believe you filed a claim, an official claim with the city, and it was denied. You still holding out hope?
No, I'm not. I've given up hope a long time ago, any sort of hope that the Chico Police or Butte County in general is on my side in this situation. Yeah, that's not going to ever happen. And I don't think they'll ever admit that they had any sort of involvement in my phone going missing. And for them to replace it, that would be them admitting guilt, which they'll never do.
Well, eventually, you'll get a response to your complaint from the police department, I believe. I think you have to. And I'm not exactly sure what that response will be, but it will be interesting to see if there's any indication that they're dealing with the retaliation that, you know, seemed to have happened in this case. Is there anything you'd like to add to what we've talked about already?
Well, I'm still passionate about Chico Police utilizing body cams and dash cams. I think that we need to continue to pressure Chico Police to follow through on that. And I'd also like to encourage other people in Chico to video police officers, especially Chico PD, because there have been some issues lately that raise questions about excessive force. So I think it's really important for us to keep them in check in the future.
Yeah, I just put in a personal plug. Chico Soul has covered your story like no one else has covered your story, I don't think. I think we've had 5 stories about your case, 3 recently, and this was front page news when it first happened, but, you know, I don't think any other media have covered it, have they?
No.
And so, you know, that's one thing Chico Soul does is, or tries to do, is cover things that other people haven't covered, and we're going to continue to cover this case until the police department issues a letter to you, you know, responding to your complain, and well, as well as to follow the case of Nicole Braham, because she seems to, you know, got caught up in, again, a case of police retaliation based on the quick turnaround between the two incidents.
And I'm just confused as to why they would lie about that. Why claim 28 minutes? I just want to hear their reasoning, their thought process behind that original statement. I would like to know.
Well, the quote from the district attorney, who doesn't criticize police very often, was, "I don't know where the 28 minutes came from." So maybe we'll find out one of these days. The press release that was sent out was, you know, riddled with, I think, questionable information.
I think that 28 minutes just came from Officer Dyke's mind because he knew he would be in trouble if 3-minute time gap came to light.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
The Chico Vibe, made possible by the generous contributions of KCFR supporters and by Urban Design Solar, a local solar contractor. Tired of phone calls from big box solar companies? Urban Design Solar can show you how. A local company can provide answers to your solar questions at 809-1079. Urban Design Solar specializes in residential, commercial, and agricultural solar services. For no-cost estimate and energy analysis, you can reach Urban Design Solar by calling 809-1079. All right, Gamble Mash for the Chico Vibe. I have Cody Johns, drummer for a brand new band, Million Year Trip. It's going to have their debut concert the 16th at the Maltese. Welcome to KZFR, Cody Johns.
Thanks, Guillermo. Great to be back on.
Yeah, man. Give us the lowdown. What can we expect, man, when we go through the big metal door at the Maltese on the 16th?
Well, hopefully when you open up that door, you're just greeted by a wall of noise, good noise, that's it. We play some earth-moving kind of stoner rock metal. It's very Black Sabbath-y, but also has some notes in there of modern metal bands like Mastodon. We definitely have a strong Queens of the Stone Age vibe going on. Basically, like, we try to write stuff that's heavy enough for the guys, but the girls still want to dance too, and I think that we have a good combo of about five songs ready for our first show. We're really excited about it.
You guys are a two-piece band, correct?
Yep, just guitar. Jeremy Day is the guitarist. He's going to, I think, hop on a mic and do some lyrics, but if not, it's groovy enough with just the two of us, and I, of course, played the drums on this project. Should be a lot of fun, a lot of spacey, metal-y goodness. That's the best way I can describe it.
All right, be sure to get on down to the Maltese on Park Avenue on Wednesday the 16th. Get Voxy, Shadow of Prose, Klepsico, and of course, Million Year Trip with special host Travis Doughty. 8 to 11 p.m., 1600 Park Ave. All right, Gamble Mesh here for the Chico Vibe, and I'm going to do a quick little segment on some exciting local news. BCAC-TV, our local channel, public channel down here in downtown Chico, they have an office. They just won a hometown media award this year for Perfect, a local music and performance video, and I'm real pleased to have Meg Amore, the Principal Hooper. I'm calling you the Principal Hooper from this wonderful video. And welcome to KZFR, Meg Amore.
Thank you.
I loved everything about the video, but just your whole look of joy and freedom and expression for all these amazing scenes. It's not just one scene of you hooping. You're like hooping everywhere. Maybe you can go through some of these scenes of you in the music video, Meg Amore.
Yeah, we had so much fun, and a big part of it was that the crew, you know, Skylar, Max, Kyle, the video crew, the music crew, Billy and Roxy, we just had so much fun together. You know, Roxy is the singer. She's a great local girl, and she even did the body paint in the black light, in the black light video, which we filmed at the Idea Fab Lab in Chico. And some of the other scenes, the first one is out at Grub with the laundry line in the background. And really the premise came up to use whole earth paints, you know, paints that are made from the earth and from milk products, to spray them out of a hoop and to share that love and joy and color out into the world. So the video begins out at Grub with the paint kind of splattering on these white sheets.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
And then it moves to 20th Street Park, and actually we did the paint out at 20th Street Park as well, and we were filling up the hula hoop, and one of the groundskeeper came over and told us we weren't allowed to beer bong at 20th Street. They thought that we were beer bonging, but I told him we were filling up paint and hula hoop, so he said it was fine. One of the other shots, which is probably my favorite, is the one on top of Monkey Face in Upper Park, where there's the sun behind me. It's kind of a silhouette shot. And I remember Max being on a hill over, and he was like, this is the most amazing shot ever. Like, it was really beautiful and magical. And then, of course, the blacklight scene. That one was so fun. It was so fun. You know, there's no paint in that one, but we used all UV neon paint. The neon paint isn't the earth paint, but was really fun. And then, then there's the scene in the Senator parking lot in the puddles. That's the first one that you see. I had to wipe a lot of the paint off that day because It was I was almost scary looking because there was so much paint going on, and it was freezing. The puddle, the puddles were, now that I think about, probably disgusting. But I was just down for whatever. We just experimented, and it was raining that day. It was freezing, and we just had so much fun. There's a small clip at the end of the video of Max dancing that day, and I think that is one of my favorite little images, because you never get the video crew in the video or anything like that, and he actually made it in there, and I love it. And then, you know, the final scene with all of the community hula hooping at Rise Yoga in this little room, which we called the paint room. We did a premiere video that showed the video, and we surprised the audience and told them they could be in the video as well. So it was kind of a two-part thing. We premiered the video in partial form, and then we completed it after the rest of the community was able to come and participate with it. And I think that is what gives the video even more light and energy, is that it's not just me. It's everybody. It's a whole community thing. It's a we thing. You know, one life, one love, one dream, one team. That's some of the lyrics that are in the song, and it resonates so true. This was a couple years ago, but I'm so excited that it's coming back up and that I get to experience again. I watched the video again recently, and we'll just say it was a great, great time. Yeah.
Yeah. What you dream and what you need. Whoa.